Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. This is the part of the service where I often have a show and tell, but I don't have anything I need to show you right now, but I need to prep you for something. And I need to prep you for the scripture reading, because you all have parts in the scripture reading. So here's what's going on. We are beginning a new trip through what's called the narrative lectionary, which is a cycle of readings that follow in the fall all the way from the book of Genesis up through the end of the Old Testament, and then we begin the New Testament in the very end of Advent, at Christmas time, right? And why do we begin reading a gospel right at Christmas time? Because that's when the gospels begin, right? And so we're going to read, actually, the Gospel of John from Christmas all the way up through Easter. Why do we do that all the way through Easter? Because that's when the gospel ends, right? So I'm glad you are very much on point with me this morning. So during this fall, we are going to meet the ancestors of the Hebrew people, Abraham and Sarah, and then we're going to meet the wise and wealthy King Solomon who builds the temple, and then we're going to meet the clear-eyed prophet Jeremiah who knows what's wrong with kings and temples. And today, we are going to meet absolutely everything all at once, because we're going to read the creation story from the very beginning, the first chapter of Genesis. And so you may know what this story does already. It happens, God creates everything, and it only takes 7 days, or really it takes 6 days to do the creating, and then we get a day off. So this is the story of the first weekend. Now, this creation story, this is not a scientific account of how things unfolded over what we know now are billions of years. This is a story about God. This is a story about who God is. And in this form, this story was told in the midst of powerful neighbors. Originally, it came into this form in the midst of powerful neighbors who all had their own creation stories, their own ways of describing how the world came to be and how that sets up their gods. But this story, it echoes those stories, but it spins it and points to the God of the Hebrew people instead, and reminds us that the whole universe is under God's authority. And it's written as a poem, as a litany, really. And so we're going to read it like that. So you all have parts, okay? If you are on the left-hand side of the sanctuary, raise your hand. Good work. If you are on the right-hand side of the sanctuary, raise your hand. Excellent. Good. Now, I'm going to exempt some of you from sitting on the right-hand side of the sanctuary. If you are enrolled in an elementary or middle school, raise your hand. Yes, yes. Good. Okay. So, kids, you have a part in this as well. Okay? Are you ready? Here comes your part. God said. Okay, can you do that part? Like, out loud for me? Oh, perfect. Okay, you are going to do great. Your part's going to be up on the screen. Anytime you see the words, God said, that's your job, okay? All right. Y'all over here on the left, your job is to say, and it was so.
And it was so.
Oh. Good, with feeling and everything. Nicely done. Okay. You over here on the right, you are smarter than them, so you get a longer part. Okay? Your part is, and God saw that it was good. Do you need me to break that up? And God saw that it was good. Okay. All right. Then, everybody has some parts that you all have to read together. You are just going to have to do that on your own, okay? I'm not going to prep you for that. Okay. Are we ready for a scripture reading? Warren, would you pray us in?
multi-purpose dealer am I? But I'll be reading.
And you'll be reading.
Oh. I appreciate all the help I can get on that one.
All
right. Roberta, Victor, please don't judge us by how this next few minutes plays out. Okay. God of mercy, your covenant with us is never broken. Amid all the changing words of our time, speak your eternal word that does not change. As we hear, may we respond to your promise and your call with lives of faithfulness and blessing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
Then God said,
"Let there be light."
And there was light.
And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said,
"Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome.
And it was so.
God called the dome sky. Second day.
And God said,
"Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear."
And it was so.
God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas.
And God saw that it was good. And then God said,
"Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it."
And it was so.
The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. Evening, and there was morning, the third day. Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God gave them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness.
And God saw that it was good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, fourth day. Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind.
And God saw that it was good.
God blessed them, saying, "Be beautiful, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was an evening, and there was morning, fifth day. Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind.
And it was so.
God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. Let us make humankind our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.
And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was
evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
This is the word of the Lord. I want to give a special shout out to the people who are worshiping online with us because today is Labor Day weekend. I hope you will prepare some bread and some juice or wine for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper later on in the service. You are welcome to celebrate that sacrament with us. And you know, y'all who are online because it's Labor Day weekend, honestly, we knew we were not going to see you today. So I'm glad that you are with us, whether you are with us right now in real time or you are with us after the fact and catching up because of the magic of live streams become permanent videos once they're up for a little while. And I want to give an extra shout out to those of you who are working in retail or hospitality or medicine or public safety, because you know better than anybody the irony that Labor Day means that some of the hardest working people don't get the day off. So thank you. Labor Day is just kind of one part of our culture's kind of no-win relationship with work and rest. Right? We know some of the messages that are with us about what our work life should be like, about what our rest time should be like. Messages like the idea that work is how you earn your place in a society. That goes especially for immigrants and refugees. It's also kind of implicit in the way that we teach kids in school that the things that they're learning are important. We also have the message that the goal of work is to quit working. So the goal of work is that you can be able to retire later on as if retirement is somehow fulfilling without some kind of meaningful activity beyond just your own entertainment. We have the flip side of that, that if you quit working before whatever your official retirement age is because of disability or just because you lost your job, that you are not contributing, and that means that somehow unpaid work is also not good enough. And then, of course, speaking of pay and those folks who are joining us online because they're working right now, we've got those no-win messages about essential workers that we've heard so much about for the last year and a half, especially. The ones who do the jobs that we would miss most and soonest are often the ones that get the lowest status and lowest pay and fewest protections. And then we tell them if they don't like that, they should find another job, as if we want to go do their job. Which all sort of adds up to this weird idea that work is this essential thing that you must do because it's this punishment that you can somehow earn your way out of, and we're really glad that you do it until you can finally quit doing it, and then you should never have to again. Which feeds us the idea that you're allowed to rest, but only after you have done enough. You can rest, but only after you have done all the things that you have to do. And odds are, whenever you are working or whenever you are resting, and however you're working and however you're resting, you've got some idea that you are doing this wrong, that you're not working and resting in the right ways. So a few weeks ago, it was not Labor Day weekend, but I was off work and camping. And I was just sitting and waiting and watching a kiddo playing at the beach, and I was that unique kind of bored that parents get to be, as you're just watching someone really enjoy themselves, but honestly what they're doing is not all that interesting, right? Which is fine, but you know, I was kind of in the mood to go for a hike, and my kid was, you know, perfectly happy playing with sand at the beach, and that was the most important thing to do at that moment, but there was nothing for me to do there but rest. And honestly, I felt guilty sitting there resting on vacation, because I also knew that there would be work waiting for me when I got home. Almost doesn't matter when I take a break or where I go or what I'm doing, there's always something else waiting for me. It doesn't even matter if I'm at work, there's still work waiting for me. But it also became clear as I was sitting there experiencing that rest time that was kind of dropped on me in that moment, it became clear that I was in fact resting, and not because I was exhausted and not because all of my work was done, but I was resting because it was simply time to rest, which is not something that we do all that often. It's at least not something I do all that often. And it really occurred to me as I was sitting there that I am so grateful that God spent 10% of the Ten Commandments telling us to take a break every week, that we needed a day of rest, we need that Sabbath, and I'm so glad it is a commandment, because I can't receive that as a gift unless you require it of me. Sabbath is not only from the Ten Commandments. Sabbath is actually part of the core of the Bible's message about work. And it is there again in today's scripture reading. Did you hear that at the very end? That rest is like the capstone of the whole creation story. So we've got these 6 days of God just willing things into existence, and then on the seventh day, God blesses that day and God rests. Work and rest are both part of the gift of creation. This liturgical poem that we all read together and y'all did such a great job with, this poem gives meaning to this 7-day week that we experience, and each day invites us to remember and rejoice in one part of the created goodness of the world. And the seventh day invites us to rejoice that life is not only work and activity, but 14% of the time, all we get to do is just depend on God's gifts to us. We don't rest because we're done. We rest because it's time to rest. It's a commandment and a gift, if you ask me. Days like Labor Day can remind us, I think, how complicated some of God's gifts can be, at least once human cultures get their hands on them. So I'll turn it around and I'll make it a question rather than a commandment. The question is, when we are working, whether we're checking off things on our to-do list or we're going into that 9-to-5 or whatever it is we're doing, when we are working, why are we working? And when we are resting, why are we resting? Are we working because we are trapped in these culturally powerful messages that say that work and production are our entire value in the world? Are we working because we need to provide for what our family needs because there's no community around us to catch what we drop? Are we working because we can recognize that our work is serving someone else? Or when we're resting, are we resting because our body or our spirit just can't take anymore? Or are we working or resting because that is part of God's creativity in our lives, because we know that God would see what we are doing and call that good? Are we working as a gift to the world because we know that God delights in seeing children educated or homes put in order or lives saved? Are we working because it's a way to share beauty and joy with the creatures around us, whether they pay us for that or not? Are we resting because it's a gift of restoration and delight, because it gives us time to connect with our loved ones, to thank God for good gifts, to digest and to heal? And do we provide opportunities for meaningful work and humane rest for those that we depend on? So God ends this story by looking at everything, blessing it, and calling it good. So I want to just end with a Labor Day blessing. Whether your work is paid or not, whether your rest is enough or too much, or both at the same time, I pray that you can find joy or at least satisfaction in the work that you do for our common good together. I pray that you can have the opportunities to rest and enjoy and communities to celebrate with. I pray that you can have fair and adequate compensation for the work that you do. And I pray that you may have support for human welfare beyond that brutal math of just earning what we need. I pray for justice for those who are unfairly denied a share in the fruits of their own labor. And I pray for those who started without a fair opportunity to prosper. And I pray for a righteous relationship between human beings and this creation over which we have so much power and on which we so deeply depend. May God see our lives, our work, and our rest, our time in this creation, and say it is good. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our moment for mission lifts up the East Des Moines Family Care Clinic. They are our September Coins for Concern partner. Our own Dr. Stacy New serves some of the area's most vulnerable families at East Des Moines Family Care. And every child who comes into the clinic for a medical appointment also receives an age-appropriate book to take home with them. And Covenant supports this mission through our gifts. Coins for Concern means that the loose change in the offering plate this month, I just heard some good work, the loose change in the offering plate this month goes to purchase books for those young families at East Des Moines Family Care. And as always, you can make a larger Coins for Concern gift just by noting Coins for Concern in the memo line of your check or your online donation. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.